I do think as well it's important not to underestimate what primary children are capable of understanding or what they're capable of dealing with.
Welcome to the Confronting Controversial Past podcast series. This series arose from the Conflict and Identity Conference hosted at Lincoln College, Oxford in 2019. The conference and this series was organised by Heather Mann, Natasha Robinson, and myself, Dr. Jason Todd. It was made possible through the generous contributions of the Grand Union Doctoral Training Partnership, the Oxford University Knowledge Exchange Seed Fund, Worcester College, and Lincoln College. The development of these podcasts has been supported by the Historical Association. By controversial history, we mean history where there is a disagreement about the past or about the implications of the past in the present. Disagreement that is often emotive and public in nature. All nations have controversial histories, yet we contend leaving these histories unexplored can contribute to misunderstandings, divisions, and intolerances in contemporary societies. In this podcast, we focus on thinking about these histories in the primary sector to begin to consider the challenges of teaching controversial topics or themes of history, including historical and pedagogical approaches in primary schools. When teaching controversial issues with children of any age, we are dealing with a topic or an event in the past which not only resonates with the world around them, but sometimes collides with it. An important consideration then is how we deal with such issues. Teachers need to be prepared to address the challenges raised rather than avoid or contain topics in the ways that make them safe. At the same time, history lessons should not simply address current sensitive and emotional issues, but develop an understanding of the past which provides a basis for considering a broadly based understanding of the world, which enables students to discuss these issues, both in relation to the past and in relation to the present. This is important to children studying history at any age. In this podcast, we explore particular considerations and approaches in relation to primary age students to consider what is appropriate at their age and what is perhaps best left until they are in secondary school. This does not mean avoiding topics, but rather selecting what to teach and carefully thinking about how to teach it. We discuss five topics that have been considered by the thematic podcasts: race, empire, migration, Northern Ireland, and the Holocaust. Thinking about implications for teaching these topics in primary history. But we also talk about other themes which relate to and extend this list of themes. I'm joined today by Dr. Paul Bracey. Paul is Associate Lecturer at the University of Northampton. He has taught in many schools. His main area of research interest is teaching diversity in history. He has published in this area, and a recent analysis of teaching Black history is due for publication this year. Joining Paul is Dr. Karin Doole. Karin is Principal Lecturer at the University of Roehampton. Karin has been involved in a number of fellowship projects, including the Holocaust Teacher Fellowship with the Imperial War Museum, and she has recently edited for Sage, a book called Teaching a Diverse Primary Curriculum that explores why and how diversity can be taught through the primary curriculum. Thank you very much for joining us. We're going to talk about controversial issues in the primary context. I'm joined today by Paul Bracey and Karin Doole, and possibly a barking or noises off, but that we'll see what happens with that contribution. Okay, so before the secondary groups looked at some very specific topics, but I think before we look at specific topics, I would like you perhaps tell me a little bit more about teaching controversial issues in a primary setting. So what sort of topics and what sort of broad considerations should teachers be thinking about? So Paul, perhaps if you'd like to kick us off with that.
I think to start with, when we think of controversial issues, we're actually dealing with topics that resonate with the world around the children. They actually collide with the past. And again, that's what makes them topical and controversial. The obvious one is Colston's statue and the issues that arose around Black Lives Matter, for example, and the slave trade. We've had racist and homophobic chants at, say, football matches, the Me Too movement, for example, the Brexit debates and trade issues around Northern Ireland, for example, or the issues there in the late 20th century. And of course, currently debates of the Benin Bronzes are all issues that actually they're in the news, they can actually come up. And again, that the past has some significance with all of them. And what do we do that with these things? And I think I fully support the principles that were outlined by Kitson McCulley, where they said, teachers, we need to be risk takers and really sort of be ready to address these issues where appropriate, rather than sort of avoiding them or trying to contain them to make them safe. But of course,
I would agree with you 100% there, Paul, because what we know is that primary children are interested in what's going on around them, and they are seeing and hearing things through social media, through the news, and they bring that into school and they bring their questions into school. And if we want them to grow up to be resilient adults, we can't wrap them up in cotton wool and ignore things. We need to recognise their issues and their worries and address them and discuss them with them.
And I think there's an important thing here that what we're thinking about, what happens when we're teaching history as opposed to any other aspect of the curriculum, in terms we're actually teaching within the context of the past, rather than actually using the past just as a vehicle for dealing with these issues. It provides a background in which to understand the present. And I think that's what the distinction between past and present must be appreciated at that time.
I guess, I just thinking about that in relation to what Karin just sort of said, is that actually, and that makes the primary classroom one of the safer places for them to actually explore that, because it's in that context.
Definitely. And I think the topics themselves give opportunities to discuss things. And I think you're exactly right there. And that's one of the values of history, of course, when we're teaching. And I think when it comes to primary children or the primary age phase, we've got two things to consider. One is the idea that we've got to make sure that we consider what's age appropriate.
Yes.
And there are some topics where we have to consider what's more appropriate for an age of a child in Key Stage 1 or Key Stage 2 compared with older children. But equally, we've got an important role in that broader development of the child. And it's that the idea of that spiral curriculum, that what we do in the primary school actually resonates with what they're going to learn later on. Some things are important to them here and now at their age. Some of them are actually contributing to what they're going to need as they're developing towards adulthood in the long term. What do you think? Karin, anything?
Yes, I would absolutely agree with those sentiments that we are laying foundations and we're preparing information for what's going to come in the next stage of what they're looking, unless we've started to develop some of these big themes and ideas that they're going to encounter at a more complex level later on, they're not going to have the tools to be able to deal with some of those more complex questions later on. So I think that that's really important that we are undertaking that. I think the other thing that we sort of haven't touched on, which also is an issue here, is perhaps how ready primary school teachers are and prepared to deal with these sorts of things. So when we look at some of the more controversial issues later on, specific issues, it is easy if we don't have sufficient understanding of those issues to make mistakes along the way. So I think it's really important that primary teachers have access to good CPD that will allow them to move forward.
Okay, yeah, so that confidence, I mean, I was also struck by the idea of the spiral curriculum and actually, although we're talking about primary, I think it's really important that secondary teachers understand a little bit more about the primary curriculum and how it, the potential there about working with primary colleagues in order to really build those foundations or build on those foundations that primary colleagues have actually put down. I think it's really important.
Totally agree with you there, Jason. And I think that sort of transition, the liaison between the primary and secondary sectors is so important here. And I think some of the topics we're going to be looking at really just in terms of not just the issues, but actually some of the content that where you can cover that can actually, it would be very fruitful to have genuine liaison between primary and secondary sectors. I know it's something that's been talked about time and time again, but I think there's a lot to be offered there and a lot of potential there.
And that point that Karin made about, you know, the need for teachers to be reflexive and support, you know, the need for support in terms of CPD. But some of that can come through more effective primary and secondary liaison, where, and I don't mean that in a sort of secondary paternalistic way. I think secondary need to listen to primary as well, but actually building those better sort of links to support each other with these controversial and sensitive issues as well, I think could be incredibly valuable. Let's move on then to one of the
specific... Sorry, can I just...
Yeah, go on.
Can I just put in one thing there as well? I do think as well it's important not to underestimate what primary children are capable of understanding or what they're capable of dealing with. So I was in on the Age of Revolutions
Teacher Fellowship.
Yeah. And we were in the museum in Waterloo, and there they have the bones of a soldier who fell in Waterloo, an ordinary soldier, not an officer in any way, who's been buried and was found by a Belgian farmer and dug up. And while we were looking at these bones here, we were thinking, these are the bones of an actual human being who died not long ago, who we could trace back his generation. And I mean, he had been identified, and there had been a lot of discussion about whether it was appropriate to have those bones in the museum for people to look at, or whether he should be properly buried. And during the conversation, which was across secondary and primary, and with one of the leaders of things, and he's saying, well, I think this is something you could definitely talk about with secondary children, but I don't think it's anything that you could talk about necessarily with primary. And everybody who was there from the primary stage, yeah, of course you could talk about this with primary. We have to sometimes present things in a more simple way, but it doesn't mean that the children can't understand what it is with the points that we're bringing out. And so we do have to be careful. And I think that increased liaison between secondary and primary would be really useful in getting over this point of what we might expect as primary teachers that might not be expected from, you know, or anticipated by our secondary colleagues. So I think that's a really good point. That liaison is so powerful between when you build both sides together.
Absolutely. And mutual support as well. So, interesting example. It made me think of sort of Ian Dawson's stuff about medieval history and sort of, you know, I don't think any child is ever too, you know, young to learn about being respectful and affording dignity to actors in the past. You know, that's something that we would want to cultivate in all young people, and starting that early is really important.
Yes, definitely.